one of the statistics within Canada is one of the highest claims costs is in the disability area, just the physical attributes to not being able to do your work and so on and so forth. And the disability market, legitimately only a third of Canadians are covered, have the full coverage. They believe because they have a job and they may have coverage at the work that they're going to be okay. But the average coverage at work only covers about a third of the cost of a disability. And so a lot of times we do quite a bit of education, especially with younger folks, to say, okay, if you lost your job today and it's a $60,000 a year job, that's $5,000 a month, your current group plan is going to cover, for sake of argument, about half of that. Are you able to live on half the income and pay for all, you know, your medical bills or whatever else needs to happen? And 9 times out of 10, the answer is no. So, again, that's why the disability insurance is such a novel idea for people, but they don't think of it in that fashion. And legitimately, over the next 20 years, every 1 in 3 people will have some form of disability. And it's a matter of, are they able to survive, meaning their lifestyle, to maintain a certain lifestyle, either for their family or for themselves, if they incur a disability? Same thing with a critical illness. I mean, property, meaning homeowner insurance and auto insurance, is a given because, for the most part, you can't get a loan to buy a house without insurance, and likewise, car insurance is mandatory. So those two pieces are usually covered quite well. But to your point, the final expense, understanding that there is expense associated with everything we do. And then when you get into the time frame of families, when you're married, you have children, you have expenses, what would it cost if they extracted one of the money earners of the household? What does that look like? And the problem is 90% of people that have a spousal death in their prime years are not able to maintain their living standard due to the fact that they did not have enough coverage. And it is a shame, and we have multiple stories, and it goes all the way to our travel insurance. In fact, the earthquake that happened in Nepal, we had a client that was over there and was right in the middle of it, and luckily he was not hurt, but because of his travel insurance and having the relationship with RBC, and both his parents having a relationship with RBC, they were able to get in contact with him. We were able to get him out of Nepal back to Canada within a week. Now, that was a very stressed week for both the family and for him, because there was 2 or 3 days they didn't even know if he was alive. And luckily, through our efforts, because we were able to bring to the table some additional influencers, we were able to get a hold of the gentleman, get him out of the country, and make sure he was going to be okay. And again, that's on a very broad scale, but it comes down to your point of, until you experience it, you may not think you need it. And many times we hear many, many stories that, you know, they cashed in a policy, or the kids, you know, they had to pass around the collection plate to at least have half a funeral for their parents, and which is a shame, because in this day and age, with the cost of insurance for the benefit, it is affordable, and you have the ability to make sure that when you leave this world, that bad things are going to happen, and it's terrible to say, but at the same time, don't leave additional bad things on the table. And we constantly want to encourage young folks to understand, you know, hopefully it never happens, knock on wood, but at the same time, if it does, you're okay. And I think one of the great parts of being part of RBC is we are about client advocacy and making sure our clients are set up with the right advice on the front end, so that when bad things do happen, they're not worried about, does my claim get paid? How does this work? We're there to advise them through the entire process of how we can make sure that they get taken care of. And that's the most, I think that's the most important part, but it's very difficult. And then this month of November, you know, financial literacy is key.
Mr. Hamilton, as an acknowledged and driven executive who has met and surpassed all projected business and sales goals against historical norms, what is the best advice you could provide to the young professionals interested in surpassing projected business and sales goals globally?
Well, thanks for the question. It's first and foremost, be innovative and be a student of the business and the industry that you're in. Things are changing. Literally upon graduation, that piece of paper, whether it's your BA, BA, BS, Bachelor of Science, or your master's, that's just the piece of paper. Now it's time to understand how that is affected in the industry you're going into and how you can affect that element through your relationships, through innovative thinking, through changing ways of doing things and being the big picture student, because decisions you make for your organization have the potential to affect an industry or have broader influence. And then the understanding that there is no natural leader or no natural salesperson. These are all skills that we have to continue to work at. I look at it very similar to being a professional athlete. When you think about it, the best analogy is when you look at the best golfer or the best basketball player, the Michael Jordans of the world, to even the Oprah Winfreys, to the Wayne Gretzky's. What was the difference about them? And they would tell you it wasn't, they had some natural ability, but when it broke down to what did they do differently, is they spent hours and hours and hours practicing their skill.